Many parents have angst about the pressures their teenagers will face to try cannabis, alcohol and other illicit drugs. But what puts some kids more at risk of becoming a regular user while others are able to avoid substance use? It turns out the answer might, partly at least, lie within the brain. Jennifer Debenham is a researcher with the Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use.
I'd probably preface this by saying you can't look inside someone's brain and determine whether they're going to use drugs or not. We really talk in terms of risk and probability. So there are other environmental and social factors at play as well. But a recent review of the literature found that there are limited neural predictors of single-time substance use. However, for more frequent use, there are some neural associations with more frequent substance use. Specifically, we found that white matter integrity.
Just to explain, white matter is, if you like, the cabling of the brain.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking at the cabling of the brain between the frontal cortex, so that's the front of the brain, and the limbic system, which is kind of towards the middle and deep inside the brain.
And the frontal part of the brain is where we've got what's called executive function. This is where we can control our behavior, control what we say, and also plan how we're going to do things in the future.
That's exactly right.
And the limbic's more basic than that.
That's exactly right. So the limbic is more emotion and memory.
What are the features of the cabling that may say, well, this person's more at risk or maybe more destined to use drugs?
So it's white matter integrity, which is essentially a measure of the insulation around a neuron. Around neurons, you've got this fatty tissue of myelin, and that strengthens our neural connections and it strengthens the speed at which messages are sent. So we find that the connectivity of these tracks between the frontal part of the brain and the limbic system play a role in risk-taking. So reduced white matter integrity is associated with risk-taking and also substance use during adolescence.
But isn't that what adolescence is? And therefore, how to differentiate it from normal adolescence? Because normal adolescents like taking risks.
Well, exactly. But these are in samples where we're comparing across the board all adolescents and everyone develops at different rates. But there are particular trajectories of neurodevelopment which have, say, reduced white matter integrity. And that's more highly associated with substance use.
So what you've said there is that in some young people, there is this cabling issue from the front of the brain through to the limbic system, the basic emotional part of the brain. Let's go upstream from that. Is there anything that predicts why the cabling problem occurs in the first place?
That's a great question, and hopefully a question we can answer with the ABCD study, which is currently tracking young people from age 10 all the way up for about 10 years, and they're going to look at what typical trajectories of neurodevelopment look like and then what kind of, you know, atypical developmental pathways look like. Because currently we don't quite have this, you know, window of normal. There's so many different tracks here. In terms of what might promote more negative developmental pathways, from other research, you know, it's things such as the upstream determinants of health is kind of what you would go into there, which is such adverse childhood experiences and the like.
Now, in the past, we've done quite a few stories on this on the health report. And what we've spoken about is research, particularly from Melbourne, which looks at early use of alcohol, cannabis and other drugs. And talking about this cabling is that the process of growing up is like pruning a rose bush, is that you've got this overgrown brain when you hit adolescence, and then that gets pruned, in fact, as you grow up. And what happens is that the pruning goes wrong and this cabling does not necessarily go in the right direction, and it can be molded to actually not just produce harm but a permanent sort of dependence or, if you like, predilection for drug use. Have you found the same sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely on the money there. So this pruning process, you know, allows for, you know, leaner, meaner and more efficient brain activity. And at some stage it can go wrong. You know, maybe you have a delayed neurodevelopment, which increases your propensity to use substances. Or maybe as a result of substance use, you get this a change in the cabling. But I would be reluctant to say that, you know, that this always tracks into adulthood, because what we're speaking about here is neuroplasticity. And this is the brain's inherent ability to change. And it's this pliability, this malleability, which is really characteristic of adolescence and young adulthood. And this neuroplasticity offers both the opportunity to grow and to change and to repair, but also this the risk to damage. And it does mean the brain is more vulnerable to damage. But exactly how long this this damage may last is still unclear. The jury's still out on that one.
Jennifer Debenham is a researcher with the Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use.
This has been the Health Report. See you next week.